I'd like to have you turn here this morning to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Book of 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1, we're going to begin reading here with verse 1. Second Peter 1:1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith, two precious things here in this passage, the precious faith of verse 1 and precious promises of verse 4. We've obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. You have all you need. Through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. You have all you need through the knowledge of Him. It's going to be, everything's going to swing on what you know and what you do with what you know. Right? Verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. It doesn't matter what degree you get, master's, doctorate, or anything else, that knowledge doesn't give you divine nature. But what you know through Jesus Christ, verse 4, those precious promises, gives you divine nature, makes you a partaker of divine nature. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. To knowledge, temperance, to temperance, patience. To patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, hath forgotten that he was purged from his own sins. Let's have a word of prayer. Now, Father, we pray that you'll bless the message here this morning. May you make these morsels of words and phrases here in front of us sweet to our taste, Lord. May they be fruitful inside of us as we take them and digest them. And we pray, Father, we might bring to light something here this morning that all of us latter-day Christians need to be aware of. If there's anybody here that's never trusted Christ, I pray, Father, you get a hold of their hearts and help them to see. Well, there are some things that they very much need to take account of here before the last day of the last day. So we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm going to call your attention to the exceeding great and precious promises of verse 4. Like I said, it mentioned precious faith back in verse 1. I want you to see that those promises are precious promises. Now, folks, we walk in this day, in a way that a lot of people don't want to walk. A lot of Christians don't want to walk this way. But we walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, right? That's the rule. You don't have to like the rule, but you're not going to get to see everything that you want to see. In fact, you may not get to see anything that you want to see. We walk by faith and not by sight. And it says there in verse 4, they're given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Now, those are not just promises. Those are precious promises, and they're great promises. But they're not just great and precious promises. They're exceeding great promises, and they're exceeding precious promises, right? That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Everybody wants to be divine. Everybody wants to achieve unto eternal life. Everybody wants to get a little piece of God as long as God meets their tastes. But you get to be a partaker of the divine nature through the knowledge of God through Jesus Christ our Lord, right? Now here's what I wanted to get to here. I pointed out those exceeding great and precious promises there. So you have to walk by faith and not by sight. You don't get to just believe what you want to believe. Now, you know, if you listen to Oprah very long, you're going to get way off. Because Oprah just picks and chooses what she wants to believe. You can listen to, a lot of people on the radio, and you can listen to some stuff on, TPT and, these numbskulls on some of these, advertising channels that, I don't know, they're Scientologists, a little bit of everything. Basically, it's people believing what they want to believe, right? Now, that's not what you get to do. God told us that what we have to believe, that the faith of God is believing what God said, what God promised. So we have exceeding great and precious promises. And I don't know if you ever thought about this. I'm sure you probably have, but I want to bring it really, really into focus here this morning. Do you realize how indescribably dependent you are on the promises of God? It's sure a good thing that they're great, and it's sure a good thing that they're precious, and it's sure a good thing that they're exceeding great, and it's sure a good thing that they're exceeding precious, because you are dependent upon them. You realize how dependent you are upon those promises? I mean, most all of us here, have claimed the promise of eternal life. I believe that I have eternal life right now as I stand here. I believe that eternal life for a Christian, for a born-again child of God, is a present possession. It's not just something you're going to inherit. You have it now. You are eternal now, even though your body's going to die if the Lord tarries. Right? Now, I believe that with all my heart, folks. I couldn't prove it in 100 years outside of this Bible. I mean, you believe you have eternal life? I tell you the only way that you believe it is by faith. Because that's all you have on it. When you stop and consider, I mean, we are given the Holy Spirit, are we not? Jesus Christ promised the Spirit of promise. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. I mean, He is inside of us. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Folks, I'm going to tell you right now that outside of the promises of the Bible, you could get inside of every MRI machine on earth, and you'd never be able to prove that the Holy Spirit lives in you. Because you have it by promise. When you stop and consider, here we have, I have the promise that Jesus Christ loves me eternally. That when I received Him, I was placed into the eternal love of Jesus Christ and sealed there. I believe it. I couldn't prove it outside of the Bible. I couldn't prove it in 100 years. When you stop and think about it, what material, undeniable token do you have of your faith, of God, of your religion? You'd have to say the Bible. The Bible is the only physical token we have. What's the Bible? Well, it's a book of promises. Some of those promises have been fulfilled in the past, and you can see them in history. That's true. But it's a book of promises both for the past and for the future, both for us and for other people. Right? You say, what's the point, Brother Stephen? Well, I'm telling you that everything eternal balances on the fine point of the promises of God. Now, with that, I would like to impress upon you, I don't know why you want to go off to Bible school to a Bible school that's going to teach you not to believe every word of the Bible. If that's the case. I don't know why you're going to spend good money to send your kid off to a Lutheran college somewhere if they're not going to reaffirm the promises of the Word of God to him. And at a Lutheran college, they're not. There's a bunch of Baptist colleges where they don't. As a matter of fact, most Baptist colleges don't anymore. So what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, the point is, folks, is that is why people want to have dreams and see visions and experience things, because it's all too often that for them, they feel insecure in those promises. I'm telling you, folks, in the end, you can say you saw what you saw, and you can try to see other things that you may not want to see, and you can seek for experiences, but I'm going to tell you this, everything swings on the promises of God. The great, the exceeding great, and precious promises of the Lord. The whole lot swings on it. I mean, folks, by the promises of God in verse 4, we are partakers of the divine nature. It says of Jesus Christ that all the promises of God in Him are yea and amen, talking of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says of those promises, having therefore these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. We are the promised seed spiritually by promises. You know, here's Abraham, and he believed the promise of God about a kid that was going to be born of a 90-year-old woman. He believed God about that. Why? Because God promised him. And when God then turned around and said, go take that kid that you've raised for these 17 or 18 years and kill him and sacrifice him, Abraham was prepared to do so because the Bible says that he accounted that God was able to raise him up because God had promised him that his seed was going to be as the stars of heaven through Isaac. So if Abraham killed Isaac, Abraham thus reasoned, God has to raise him up because he promised that I would have all these kids through him. Folks, we are dependent on the exceeding great and precious promises. Here is, so here, a young guy in love proposes to another girl who's hopefully in love, and she says yes, and by whatever terms of endearment or whatever words were spoken, they have committed themselves to a life together, or at least that's the way it's supposed to work. And why? It's all on promise. She looks at him and says, that's the man I want to spend the rest of my life with. And he looks at her and says, that's the woman that I want to spend the rest of my life with. And everybody looks around now and sees there's a lot of failure in that. Right? And that's just one example. Now, folks, the viability and the legitimacy of every promise is completely dependent upon the promiser. How good are my promises to you that I'll pay you back if you know I'm a thief, or even if you don't know I'm a thief? I swear I'll pay you back. Well, it doesn't matter what I swear. Right? You see what I'm saying? It's everything depends upon the promiser. Part of it's his integrity. Part of it is his character. But I tell you what, there's more than that. Part of it is his capability. Part of it's his ability. You know, I learned something. Part of the problem, and don't get me wrong, there's plenty of moral failures amongst men and women, and there's plenty of character failures amongst men and women. There's plenty of lying and stealing and cheating and adultery and all that kind of stuff. There's plenty of promise breaking, but there's also that's accorded to sin and wickedness, but there's also promise breaking that happens because you're incapable of following through with what you said. It has to do with capability. So why does a man then fulfill his promises? You ever stop thinking about this? We are in a very litigious society today, right? Everybody seems to have a lawyer in their back pocket. Why do we have insurance? For instance, if when you take a mortgage on your house, when you're going to buy the house and you take a mortgage, and this is a very instructive for our present crisis, I got news for you. What you just did when you signed your name at the bottom of all those papers without reading all those lines, here's a simple. You promised to pay it back. You promised to pay the money back. And you know what the bank makes you do, or the mortgage company or whatever? They make you have insurance on that house as long as you're paying them back. Because if your house burns and you don't have any money, then the bank's up a creek, right? So they make you have insurance, so at least the bank gets its money back. When you buy a car and finance a car, the bank makes you cover that car up to a certain point because whether or not you can help it, maybe you have to work two jobs to afford the car and the jet ski and the four-wheeler and maybe you have to have two jobs and you have to work two shifts back to back and you fall asleep on the way home, crash into a tree, and you ruin the bank's car. It's not your car, it's the bank's car. They make you have insurance on that car so the bank gets its money, right? And even all of us driving the way it's supposed to work, I don't know if everybody's insured or not, but it's supposed to work because you could crash into somebody and hurt them, and somebody has to pay. I say, what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, everybody in our society understands insurance. We've been talking about the exceeding great and precious promises. And, you know, a guy comes up and gives you his word today. Maybe it's true. Maybe it's not. Maybe you can exact some sort of insurance from him to guarantee. Maybe you take his coat so that he'll be sure to come back and pay you money back, so you give him his coat back. Maybe that's the way it works or whatever. But let me ask you a question. What ensures that the promises that we have shown this morning, you are completely dependent upon in the Word of God, what ensures them? My subject this morning is precious promise insurance. I'm not here to sell you anything, but I'll tell you this. The promises are no better than the man that stands behind them. And I would like to convince you here in a new year of a couple things, more than a couple actually, about your God. And I'm going to approach it from this direction. Precious promises insurance. There's some things to consider about promises. Think about men, first of all. First point, got to be careful with men, don't you? And, well, women, and, well, kids too. Because a man might be a liar. Point number one. A man just might be a liar. Many a promise has been made by many a man which promise was worth no more than the hot air that flowed across his vocal cords in making a promise. Right? Many is a woman, for that matter. Many is a teenager. Many is a kid that's made a promise, and that promise was no more than hot air. Why? Because sometimes a man's a liar. I mean, there are stories here we could all tell here about stuff like that. I mean, yeah, preacher, guy wants to buy my van. Yeah, preacher, I'll pay you $400 out of every paycheck till I've paid the van off. I saw one payment, and the guy's not sitting here this morning, but I saw one payment, and I got news for you, I sold it to him for more than $400, okay? He offed with my van. It's a good deal, $400 for a van. I'll be back tonight to repay the money. I'll be there Sunday, preacher. Yeah. We see pro athletes all the time today take multi-million dollar contracts, and then 3 years into the contract, they want another contract. And if I don't play in the contract, I'm going to take my ball and go home. Well, by all means. But that's not the way they approach things. You see what I mean? I mean, a man could just be a liar. There aren't many gentlemen's agreements made anymore. There's many a young man or a young woman who built their lives around promises that somebody else spoke to them, only to find themselves out in the cold 6 months later or a year later or 2 years later. We are currently in a mortgage crisis, they tell us. And part of that mortgage crisis is that there were people that some of them were deceived into going into an unrighteous situation that they could not come out on top of, and made promises that they couldn't keep. Right? That's what it is. You know what, folks? A man just might be a liar. There is many a son that has discovered that his father's promises weren't all that good. There's many a daughter that's learned that her mother's promises weren't all that good. A man might be a liar. In the end, a promise is only as good as the man that makes it. That man's integrity. That man's character. And I got news for you. That man's ability to make it come to pass. You say, what do you mean? Well, I know that sometimes man's a liar. I know that sometimes man enters into something and he deceives you and lies to you from the very start. It's a plan. I want what you've got. You give it to me. I'll give you something equal back. And he never intends to give you anything equal back. Sometimes that happens. But you know what? Sometimes the guy in the beginning intended to give you exactly what he said. But there came an hour where expediency dictated that he could lie or else not preserve self. And there, I tell you what, everyone in here in this room has faced times when it was more expedient to lie and preserve self than to do what you said you were going to do all those months ago or all those years ago. Right? You know, I'll go into debt and then I'll just declare bankruptcy. Hooty-tooty. Yeah, you're a liar. I know. Sometimes people have to declare bankruptcy. I understand that sometimes things happen. But some people plan it. You say, what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, let God be true. Never man a liar. You see, folks, problem with men's promises is that a man might be a liar. But we don't have men's promises. It's not what we build our lives on. That's not how we are partakers of the divine nature. We're partakers of the divine nature by the exceeding great and precious promises of God. And I got news for you. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should repent. Whatever else is true, whatever else you have, this is why it's so silly to depend upon man. No promise that you have is better than the man that stands behind the promise. And I got news for you. God stands behind the promise. We are in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie. He cannot lie. It says that by two immutable things, it is impossible that God should lie. Now, you think about that. You know, for all of us, lying is always a possibility. I mean, you and I shake hands on a deal, and we both acknowledge, you know, this guy might be lying to me right now or might decide to lie 2 days from now. We both know that. Bob Grissom and I have been friends for years and years, and Dave Darling and I have been friends for years and years, and we may make a deal and shake hands, and we both have to acknowledge that down in the center of both of us is this little bitty liar that under the right circumstances might develop a real big mouth and shout in my ear. I got news for you. It's always possible that you'll lie to me or that I'll lie to you. I got news for you. It is impossible for God to lie. God cannot do anything. He cannot do anything. There are things that God cannot do. And one of them is that he cannot lie. All right? So, first of all, as far as precious promise insurance goes, you might acknowledge the fact that a man might be a liar, but God is not a liar. He cannot lie. That's pretty good insurance. I mean, if I could find somebody that not only wouldn't do me wrong, that I didn't believe would do me wrong, but couldn't do me wrong, I'll do business with that fellow. Amen? All right, now there's something else here. Not only might a man be a liar, a man might just forget. That's always a possibility. I know people go, oh, I forgot. And he didn't forget anything. He knew exactly what he was doing from the start. You tell your kid to go, you know, take out the trash. 3 hours later, there's the trash. You didn't take out the trash. I forgot. Right. Happens 3 times a week. I understand. But a man may well forget. Now, you know, typically speaking, I am not too addle-brained. Too bad. Once in a while, though, I do forget. I was going to Brother Nolan's in Thunder Bay to preach. We stopped in Duluth, and I discovered that I'd left my suit at home. I had to go into a store in Duluth and buy a suit so I had something to preach in besides jeans and a t-shirt. Once in a while, I do forget. I will never forget waking up in the middle of college, middle of the week. It had been, I had a lab class, and I'd missed that lab class for 2 weeks straight. Forgotten about it. It wasn't in the regular, you know, class schedule, and it was a night lab and stuff. Man, I forgot. I still have nightmares about forgetting classes. I still wake up at night thinking I'm still in school and haven't been to class for 6 weeks. I'm ashamed to say this. Now, I didn't forget it for good. I just kind of forgot it for a while. I didn't forget it all day, but I forgot it for part. I forgot my anniversary once. It was in the middle of you know, being a pastor and working full time and all that, I didn't forget it all day, but it was 10 in the morning before I remembered that today was my anniversary. And I hadn't yet made plans with you know who. So I called you know who. We had a couple of tense moments. Because not only did she think I might have forgotten, I had forgotten. I'm sorry. I never forgot for the whole day, guys. Never did. Never did that. I forgot a breakfast meeting one time with a guy, a brother of a guy in our church that I had set up for a week. Slept through it, forgot completely about it. He calls me up. He says, "You're 10 minutes late." I said, "I'm still in bed." So what's the point? Well, folks, you know, sometimes somebody gets overwhelmed by details and by concerns. And he forgets. Don't sit there and look at me self-righteous. You forget stuff. I mean, I hate it, man. I got five or six things I got to grab before I come out of, you know, come out of the house to go to church or whatever. And I get halfway down Blackfoot and go, got to turn around and go back. You know, I've been fighting with the wife and kids, you know, get in the van, honking the horn and stuff. Let's go. Folks, honestly, sometimes I feel like if I didn't snap the whip all the time, we would never come here. And then something weird happens and I have to stay home and they're here earlier than they are. I don't know what the problem is. But sometimes I catch myself, you know, on the way to church, I forget. I hate forgetting stuff. But everybody does that, right? Here's the deal though, folks. All things are naked and open in the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. The promises aren't any better than the guy that stands behind him. Sometimes that guy's a liar. God is not a liar. Sometimes a man just forgets. God does not forget. In Psalm 10, it talks about a wicked man. And you know what that wicked man gets around to saying after a few verses? He says, "God hath forgotten." That's a quote. Got news for you, pal. God didn't forget. Every idle word that man shall speak, he shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. There is not a sparrow that falls to the ground. He has the hairs of your head numbered, and he knows what the time is that the goats of the rock bring forth. He does not forget. You really think that you can build a computer that can keep up with more stuff than God can? All right, so a man might be a liar. A man may well forget. You know, a man can be ignorant of events. I don't know if you've ever had made a promise that you intended to keep, you had every intention of keeping, and you did everything that you could to keep it, but whatever happened, happened, and you couldn't keep it. Sometimes, okay, it shouldn't happen as often as it does, but sometimes you can't be on time. You get the flat, you get in traffic. It's okay. Sometimes you can't be on time. I don't know if you've ever had a fishing trip or a hunting trip that was promised or a camping trip that was messed up. You know, you can't schedule a tornado. You know, I mean, folks, I mean, you know, I don't know if you know or not, but you live near the Mississippi River. It's been a long time since we had an earthquake here, but the Mississippi River runs down a rift. There may be a day that you need to be on time and we have an earthquake and you can't get there. So what's the point, Brother David? Well, a man can be ignorant that certain things are going to happen. Everybody here at one point or another has been thwarted by developments. I mean, sometimes your vacation has to be foreshortened. I've had people die when I was on vacation. Sometimes, you know, I've had... You know, things happen with weddings and stuff that you couldn't predict. A celebration, a birthday party, whatever, where, you know, you promised your kid this or that or the other, and you couldn't follow through because it was impossible because things happen. You go, man, I hate it when that happens. Can't do anything about it. Helpless. Got news for you, folks. God never gets blindsided. He never does. There's never been anything, God has this reaction has never come from the Lord. Wow. What happened? How did this ever happen? You ever had one of those? Did you ever do this? How could anything ever get this bad all at once? You know, you have one of those days where everything happens at once and you just wish that life had a rewind button. You know, God never said, I think I'll rewind. Because He could if He wanted to. But He never, you know why? Because God is omniscient. God is never surprised. Okay? The promises are still, you know what? He foresaw anything, any glitch, He foresaw thousands of years ago. It's been on the grid for Him. It's not been under His radar for any time at all. So what's the point, Brother Stevens? I got news for you. You are completely dependent upon the promises of God. And there's not a promise made that is higher than the man's integrity that makes it, than the man's ability that makes it to follow through. Look, you know, if I walk up to you and tell you today that I'll be giving you $1 million tonight, you can laugh in my face because I have no ability to do that. Right? I mean, really. You know, some of these TV evangelists, you know, they're going to raise somebody from the dead. Right. Make somebody's leg grow back. Yeah, I know. See, people are suckers, aren't they? People are suckers for things like that. They will make an unwise investment thinking, that some guy can deliver them 20% interest on something. And then, not understand what happened. But they won't believe God when He gives them a promise. All right, there's a couple other things that you need to consider. Actually, more than a couple, I wouldn't want to lie to you. Not only might a man be a liar, not only might a man be forgetful, not only might a man be ignorant of certain events, but a man could change. The guy that promises you something, if during the course of the years or the months, he changes, his character, the way he thinks, his integrity changes significantly enough through those months and years, so that he no longer holds precious the word that he gave you that he would follow through on, I got news for you. That promise is not worth a plugged nickel. Right? See, a man could change. Things change. We elect presidents on things changing. We like for things to change, but most people here have had the distasteful experience of having longtime friends that changed. Now, sometimes change is good. If change for the better, praise the Lord. Somebody gets saved, new creature in Christ, grows in the Lord, makes changes, praise the Lord. Everybody here knows somebody who has changed for the worse. Right? Everybody here knows somebody like that. A man could change. There are people that have made promises, vows to the Lord, and they changed. And their vows have turned out to be no better than the air that blew across their vocal cords when they said it. So what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, men get old, men lose their faculties, men become bound in sin, they become influenced by other people, their hearts are hardened, men are mutable. Men are changeable. We hear all the time these days about people falling in love and then falling back out of love. Okay? I just want you to know that nobody in the Bible ever fell in love, nor did they fall out of love. Now, some of them have left their first love. But it's not as arbitrary as that. It's not as arbitrary as that. A man's promises are only as good as long as he remains unchanged in his integrity and his valuation of that promise. Okay? a man's promises are only good as long as he lives. I mean, I can make you a promise that I'm going to deliver you something next week, and if I die this afternoon, I got news for you. You ain't getting next week what I promised you you were getting, because the Grim Reaper caught up to me. And, you know, a man is only good as that. You know, if a man is only as good as long as he retains the integrity and the desire and the unction to follow through with what he said, you know, we should seriously consider that, because you've made promises. You made a promise to your wife when you married her. You made a promise to your husband when you married her. When you agreed to have children and take care of children, there were, while you may not have made a vow and crossed your heart and hoped to die, there are some promises that were made there that are understood. And you can stop and consider that you subject yourself to programming every day. Radio programming, TV programming, just the world's programming. You go to work these days, and they'll pay you to go to a seminar where they try to program you in a way that'll help destroy your family. You gotta be careful with stuff like that. The Bible says the God of this world is the devil, and the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. They don't think right anymore. They've been programmed. Now, I could quickly devolve into a sermon about Bible reading and Bible study. And that's what you need. Because I'm going to tell you what, you can change. And there are some vows and promises that you've made that you need not change on. A man is no better. A man's promises are no better than that man as long as he retains his focus. I mean, how many middle-aged men has decided to depart from a wife and settle and get a new model? And by the way, it works both ways. Right? It's really quiet in here. I don't even know that any of you have done that. Why are you so quiet? Say, what's the point? Well, the point is, you're only as good as your promises. And if you change, maybe your view of a promise that you made will change. Now, folks, God is not changeable. I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. See, I have precious promise insurance. The insurance for the great, for the exceeding great and precious promises that I have of Jesus Christ and the Lord are based on the fact that God's character never changes. He is not a liar. He is not forgetful. He knows everything. He foresees everything. He does not change. There is no variableness nor shadow of turning with him. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's my precious promise insurance. See, you know, these days people get prenups. Marcy and I didn't do a prenup. Neither of us had anything. And I know that probably none of you did, but people today get prenups because they're trying to ensure that in the case of the failure of a marriage, I get to keep mine. That's kind of a sad, you're going to marry somebody that you don't trust. Okay, I understand. And you know what? Here's the sad part. There's legitimacy to it. Because I marry this girl, and 10 years later, what is she? She marries me. 20 years later, what am I? All we have is a promise. Okay? I got better than that for you with God. Okay? God does not change. He is not mutable. I'll tell you something else. A man is weak. A man is weak. Not always just morally weak. Morally weak, yes, that's true. But sometimes, you know, a man's just weak. Now, God's not weak, but a man's weak. Marcy and I were engaged my second year in Bible school. And Bible school is a wild time. Brian Darling will be a thin little stick by the time it's all over with. You work all day, go to school, you know, 4 hours at night, do that 4 or 5 nights a week, and, you know, it, after 3 years in the Pensacola heat, you know, you're tired. Marcy and I started going out my second year in Bible school, and one particular Friday night, I didn't have class on Friday night because I tested out English, but we were supposed to go out to get a bite to eat, so I came home after work, and I don't know, the grade time, whatever, 7 o'clock or whatever, and I had an hour, I got a shower and had about an hour, so I laid down, and I woke up, and it was pitch dark. I had slept for about 3 straight hours. It's about 9 o'clock. At that time, I didn't even have a telephone. I mean, you're gone all day. What do you need a phone for? So, you know, she had rather a couple of uncomfortable hours not knowing whether she had been stood up or if something had happened to me. And, you know, no way to reach me. So, you know, I got dressed and ran over, you know, and I was okay. After the swelling went down, I was fine. But... Look, man, honey, I'm sorry I didn't keep my, I'm 2 hours late. I'm sorry I was tired. I'm weak. That's when she hit me. But look, folks, there's moral weakness. There's physical weakness. There's can't control events, though. Look, I'm not going to be able to control, for the most part, probably how I die. I can't pick which germ's going to kill me. Bacteria? Virus? Cancer? Too much Dr. Pepper? You know, you don't always get to choose stuff. There are things that are outside of your control. A man is weak. A man is captain of precious little. He gets to make choices. That's true. And he gets to control some seed that he sows. That's true. But a man is captain of precious little. A lot less than he thinks he's captain of. And, I mean, the government will protect us. Unless you're in the Twin Towers on 9/11. Right? And the government's going to protect us and give us this mortgage crisis. Right? A man is weak. I don't care how much of the federal government backs him up. He's still weak. Sometimes my weakness isn't an indictment of my character. Sometimes it isn't an indictment of my moral fiber. Sometimes it has to do with the fact that I'm incapable. I make a promise to Marcy that, you know, we're going to be together till death do us part. And I'm going to take care of her and love her and keep her and protect her and all that. But boy, you know, I haven't taken any terrible fall or been an amputee or anything like that, but there are certainly some hypothetical conceivable things that have happened to other people, by the way, by which I might not be able to keep all those promises. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes a man's weakness is not an indictment of his character. Sometimes, you know, ladies, you too. I mean, sometimes it's a fact that you can't. Have you ever made a promise that you couldn't keep? Probably most of us have. Say, what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, I tell you what. A man's promises are no better than that which can't overcome him. Right? I can't protect, I can't promise absolute protection for my wife or my kids. Have you ever stood far enough away from one of your kids who you turned and looked and was at the head of the stairs and you were far too many steps away to do anything about it if they decided to go ahead and topple down? Have you ever stood too far from your kid when a dog that was too big was nearer your kid than you were? There, I tell you what, folks, there are a few moments in life where your helplessness washes over you, and you'll realize that no matter how much you've tried, there are some things that are beyond you. Okay, I want you to know something. There is nothing that is beyond God. Genesis 18. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And that was the Lord saying that. And the plain answer was no. And if you answered yes or maybe, you got a zero on that test. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Job says to the Lord at the end of his tongue lashing, I know that thou canst do everything. Right? The winds of the seas obey him. There is nothing that God is weak in. A man is weak, but God is not weak. A man can't be everywhere at once. It'd be nice sometimes, huh? If they ever develop true transporter room technology, I want one. I mean, it'd be nice not to have to drive 20 minutes to get here. I could forget something in my office, transport myself here, and be back home instantly. It'd be cool. That'd be as close as you could get to being, you know, omnipresent. A man can't be everywhere at once. Come on. How am I going to protect my wife, my kids, my home? I mean, what happens right now if my house is burning? Who's going to protect Lexi? Not me. I've trapped her in that house. I've locked her in. She's going to die a horrifying death if my house is burning right now. I brought her. I vaccinated her. I bought her. Locked her in the house. I'm here. I can't be there too. All right, now, brother, you're just not captain of that much. And you've made promises to other people, and you ought to do all that you can to keep them. And God will help you keep most of them. That's a blessing, right? But you're weak. Sometimes you're not altogether honest. Pretty often you're forgetful. You don't know everything that's coming. You have to guard with all your might against change that's detrimental. You are weak, and you can't be everywhere at once. All those things that you are, God is the opposite. And that's why what we have are exceeding great and precious promises. And the insurance behind those promises is the very integrity and character of God, that He will do exactly what He said He would do when He said He would do it. That's your precious promise insurance. It's the best insurance there is. Let's have a word of prayer. Now, Father, we hope this morning this message has not been about the preaching of the gospel of salvation so much as it has been about the character of the Lord. I trust, Lord, that for somebody here that might be unsaved, that they would be able to see that there is no other God like You. And that there is no other book like the Bible. And that there are no other promises like the exceeding great and precious promises that we have in the Word of God. Pray, Father, You convict folks of their sins and help them to see their need to enter into a relationship with a God of such a nature. Help them to see, Father, they're sinners and that there's a salvation in Jesus Christ that's free. Lord, for the most part, the folks that sit here this morning know You as their Savior. They've been born again, and they have a relationship with You. May we, by our familiarity with You, not ever enter into a situation, Father, where we feel doubtful about Your capabilities. Lord, You are not weak. You are not a liar. You are none of the things that a man is. We're grateful this morning to have precious promise insurance. And that insurance lies in the person of God Himself. Thank You, Lord, for these things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to number 10, and we'll stand. Number 10. Number 10. by the fact, folks, that, you know, we deal with corruption down here all the time, don't we? I mean, our politicians lie to us. Sometimes our own kinfolk lie to us. And we are in contact with corruption and vileness all the time. Do you ever worry about whether you're rubbing shoulders with that element might affect the way that you conceive God? After all, everybody else will lie to you. Maybe you think in the end it'll work out that so will God. Everything else is a disappointment in the end when you realize it, isn't it? I mean, anything that you have longed for a long time and bought, saved for and bought, it's disappointed you in one way or another. Do you ever get skeptical enough, critical enough, have your views affected enough that maybe heaven kind of loses its glitter and the fact that you have a relationship with God? That, you know, the Bible, I mean, yes, people say it's written by man. You know, man, it was written by God. God inspired it. God preserved it. God had a hand in translating it. It's pure. Man doesn't affect those things. That's the only thing he doesn't affect. But you have to be careful of having your own views skewed by things, because you are in contact with corruption all the time. You think that everything then must be corrupt. Ever try to talk to a policeman who's been a cop for a long time? A 20-year man? Some of the hardest people on earth. You know why? Because they deal all day long with people trying to get one over on them. They're lied to about how fast somebody was going, what somebody was doing when they were swerving. They deal with lies with just about everybody they talk to. And it skews their views on, say, spiritual things, if they're not careful. People in the army are like that many times. So what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, you rub shoulders every day with corruption. But I got news for you. I don't care who you run into that lies to you or forgets you or changes when they shouldn't have. God is not like that. God is not like that. There's one thing you can count on besides man being corrupt and this world trying to get one over on you. God's not like that. He's not like that. Last stanza. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you this morning for the word of God. Thank you for the light that it sheds. We're glad to have a greater hope than anything this world can offer, than any man or group of men can offer. We look forward to the fulfillment of these things. Father, we hope that your coming, the coming of your Son, might be this very day. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.